I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. There's a strand of theology of which I am very devoted. It's called narrative theology, and it picks up on this central idea that as human beings, all that we have are the stories that we tell. And this morning's gospel is like the preface to the story of the incarnation. And on this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, we inch day by day closer to God's third great act in creation. You'll remember that in the book of Genesis, we have the opening of the creation with the image of the Spirit of God hovering over the abyss, bringing order out of chaos, separating sky from sea. And the emergence of dry land, upon which every seed that is living, God plants. And with the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the garden, the creation kind of takes a sort of a slight veer to the right and unfolds in perhaps a different way from the way originally intended by God at the creation of the world. And the book of Genesis then goes on to tell us that things go from bad to worse until we get to the point where God's patience snaps. And in the flood, God destroys the creation, all except sky and sea. And upon the sea, this small ark of life. And in this great act of destruction, we find the second action of God in creation. And out of that, we learn that God is sorry. God is remorseful for having acted from his anger. And henceforth, God gives the creation a solemn promise. Never again will he allow the conflict between that which he loves and his rage lead to destruction. And the rainbow is the symbol of God's remorse and God's promise. And the creation continues on to develop. And in the Christmas carol, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear," we have these wonderful words. With peaceful wings unfurled, their heavenly music floats o'er all the wearied world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its Babel sounds the blessed angels sing. Of course, these words refer to the angelic song which the angels have sung in perpetually over the groaning earth. And underneath this unimaginable beauty of the angelic strain, the carol continues, with woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long, beneath the angel strain have rolled, 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. And in the third great act of God in creation, we encounter a 15-year-old girl who sits entranced by the words of the angel. Hail, O highly favored one. The Lord is with you. And sitting entranced, Mary hears the angel's song. Perhaps alone in all of creation, she hears the song of the angels over the hovering earth. And she asks the question, how can this be? Mary's situation is one of extreme vulnerability. A 15-year-old peasant girl, she lives in a world that is neither safe nor gentle, and there is little prospect for her of any escape from a life of labor, the plight of women throughout the ages. But what's interesting in the question that Mary asks, she says, how can this be? And in it, we see a deep and attractive curiosity. Curiosity is a capacity for wonder. And I often refer to curiosity as one of the primary qualities of living the spiritual life, because it opens us to wondering. And through curiosity, we hear the whisper of our longing, a longing to be enacted in the actions of our lives in the present time. And Mary sits entranced, full of curiosity. And finally, there emits from her mouth a whispered yes. And in that yes, the whole of creation gives back to God. Yes. Mary waits in silence. Gabriel hovers soundlessly, but the soundlessness of his wings is deafening for Mary, and the deafening soundlessness enters, penetrates into every cell of her body, into every fiber of her being. And together, Mary waits and Gabriel hovers, and in their silence, the whole of creation is brought to a standstill. A pause between two breaths. Mary sits and Gabriel hovers, And God, well, God waits. God waits. The Creator waits upon the response of the created. God waits upon Mary. And in her yes, the creation returns once again to a new course in its progress, changing the course of history. Now, between Mary's context and ours, there is a difference of time and society. But we struggle with hope. Those of us who perhaps have been privileged in our lives to not feel what Mary must have felt, that intense vulnerability, exposure to chance. Those of us who have felt that perhaps our situation in life has afforded us a certain amount of buffer against the vicissitudes of life. Well, in 2020, we have been reminded of the true picture of our situation, that we, like her, are vulnerable and fragile, and the world can be a pretty rough place. And so we struggle with our hope. Hope as the ultimate whisper of our yes. All we can know is that when we whisper yes, as Mary did, we consent to enter into a partnership with God, giving ourselves over to God's purpose for us. Perhaps our question needs to be hers. Perhaps, like her, we need to ask, how can this be? Rather than the question we're normally asking, which is, but yes, God, but show us first the way things are going to go. You know, our yes is conditional, if that's the question that we ask. But with Mary, if we ask the question, how can this be, we open to the wonder of possibilities, undreamt of possibilities that begin to flow from our decision. And in every moment of every day, God addresses us as highly favored ones, asking for our willing consent to become those in and through whom the Word of God is born. Our Advent waiting is over. Our confusion as to who or what we have been waiting for becomes clear. We are the ones that God has been waiting for. Let it be to us according to the divine life-giving word. Thomas Merton, in his poem, The Annunciation, wrote, 15 years old, the flowers printed on her dress, cease moving in the middle of her prayer when God, who sends the messenger, meets his messenger in her heart. Her answer, between breath and breath, rings from her innocence our sacrament. In her white body, God becomes our bread. Amen.